Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we're here after having just watched, mere seconds ago, the latest episode of Game of Thrones, 802. Nobody knows the title. It's Game of Thrones episode 69, according to HBO.
Nice.
What are you going to do? They at some point, they do put up the titles, and I don't understand why you wouldn't just do that when you go live with your episode.
They don't have that technology.
Yeah, it's beyond them. The double D's corporation.
The double D's call the president of HBO at 8:59 and whisper the episode title to them, and they just can't get it into the system fast enough to update. The secrecy is just crazy.
What'd you think of this episode?
I thought this episode was pretty good. This is another type of setup episode. This is a setup episode that sets up your emotional stakes and reminds you of why you're invested in the things that are about to happen. And we had, you know, there was some unfinished business that we needed to see with Jaime and how he'd be accepted at the Court of Winterfell and, you know, how he'd mesh with Bran and how things would fall out between Jon and Dany. And like we talked about last episode, that this is going to be one of the big themes of the season is going to be, you know, Dany and Jon maybe not turning against each other, although maybe that will happen, but how they can like win the North and unite all these different tribes and interests and factions. And I felt like the episode went a long ways towards showing that they know that they need to do that, with Dany's having a sit down with Sansa, and it didn't get quite resolved, but it came so damn close. What'd you think?
No, I thought this episode was actually great. Probably better than the first one. I didn't feel like any of it was clunky. I thought this is exactly the type of episode they need to do before, presumably, a lot of these characters go off to die.
Right.
I wanted to get all of that unfinished business off the table. We knew a lot of this stuff had to happen. And so now, and it happened in really nice ways. I thought maybe the best scene of the entire episode is Brienne being knighted.
Mm.
That was a really meaningful scene, I thought. There were a couple of other good ones. What did you think about Arya and Gendry hooking up?
Man, because I felt like that this was a very fan servicey episode, and I'm a fan, and I felt like it was servicing me for the most part. Like, all that Jaime and Bran stuff was so good, and you know, Tyrion had to sit down with Bran, and that was really cool. And I liked the Sansa and Dany stuff, and all the Jaime and Tyrion stuff was really good. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I was ready to see Arya Stark getting busy with Gendry. Like, I wasn't. Like, I was thinking, like, okay, they're shipping them, obviously. Last episode, Arya looks like she's charmed by him and vice versa. And then it's a full-on, like, yeah, Ned's little girl's all grown up now, I guess.
Yeah, she does the RV gambit from Independence Day.
Right, yeah.
Where the dude's trying to sleep with her before they all, you know, potentially die. Who knows if they'll be around tomorrow.
I do feel like, don't you think that's in, like, Arya's character? Like, her kind of adventuresome streak?
Yeah.
Like, fuck it, this is a new experience. If I die tomorrow, why not?
Sure.
Gendry's a good-looking guy. I've known him a long while. He's a good guy.
I just know if I were Gendry, I'd be checking for leeches now. Yeah. I'd be looking where'd she put the leeches. I know how this goes.
Right. When she was questioning about how many women he's been with, I'm like, Gendry's not a total, he's no way he's a virgin.
And I but three's a good, like, three is the right number for Gendry, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
What if he said 17?
That's too many.
Are you slut-shaming Gendry
now? No, I'm just saying Gendry is not that guy.
Hey, on the streets of steel, there's not to do but swing your hammer or swing your hammer.
That's entirely my point. He's got to swing that hammer. He can't be busy swinging his hammer if he's going to get good at swinging his hammer. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I don't know.
I don't even know what I'm saying.
6 out of 7 Gendrys agree. 3 is the right number.
Yeah.
That 7th Gendry is a real... real corker.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't read the reaction or sort of decipher the expression on Arya's face. I can't even call it the morning after, but when, you know, she kind of snuck out of bed there.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite tell what was going through her head.
She's like, we're really regretting this. Look at this guy. He looks like...
he's just been in that Forge.
It's like poor
sweating.
Man's Christian Bale. What have I done?
What must Gendry smell like at this point?
I don't know.
He's been blacksmithing nonstop for like 2 days, 3 days.
Dragon glass. What did you think of the Theon stuff? Because that was the one thing that I'm not... Like, when he came to court and pledged this Winterfell and Sansa gave him a big hug, like, okay, maybe... And then he pledges to defend him and his Ironborn are going to defend Bran from the Night King and the Godswood. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, if it comes down to you and your 20 dudes versus the Night King, everyone's fucked, man. Like,
yeah.
But thanks for volunteering. Appreciate that.
No, I'm kind of like not real. I'm not understanding exactly why it was such an emotional moment for Sansa.
I mean, she did, like Theon did kind of protect her and help her escape from the hellish torment that was Winterfell for her. So, like,
okay.
You know, they did
leap
off of
with
the parapets
Ramsay, yeah.
into the 70-foot deep drifts outside Winterfell.
Yeah, miraculously survived.
But no, and they showed them kind of, like, catching up later, like, during that really nice montage where Pod was singing about the... Ginny Oldstone's ghost.
Pod is surprisingly good singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They talked about that in the behind the scenes, like that the guy who plays Pod, I forget his name, has a really fine natural singing voice, and I was shocked.
We need a duet between Bronn and Pod.
There you go. Yeah.
That would be an amazing just reunion. If they can reunite it halfway between King's Landing and just sing their way to Cersei's throne room and just killer.
But Pod the ladies, man, with the crooning and then yeah, if he
the
goes
sword
to
fighting
Bronn and sing Cersei to death, that would be something.
Yeah, I love seeing Pod teaching these fools how to fight, because he was these fools like a season ago or
yeah,
two,
and
maybe
seeing Brienne you know, kind of like satisfied over his progress, and you know, kind of Jaime being impressed. That was really cool. And then, like, I guess we talked about it in passing, but it was a real moment when Jaime knighted Brienne.
Huge.
And
yeah.
So I feel like that the showrunners put their thumbs on the sides of the scales of, I got an Irish brogue there.
Uh-huh.
They put their thumbs on the side of the Brienne-Jaime shipping scale. Because Tormund came up and like, I'll knight you 10 times over. And Jamie's like, oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to knight her the only time that matters once. Ding dong. Father, mother, yeah. Warrior, you're a knight.
The first female knight in Westeros history?
Probably, sure. I actually couldn't swear to that. There might be some, I think so. Yeah.
I don't know the full lore, but yeah. Deservedly, I'd say.
Yeah.
She's done a stand-up job.
Broke the Valyrian steel ceiling with the help of Jaime Lannister. Do you think, because I actually thought there was more kind of romantic tension there than I was even expecting. I was expecting just kind of the nearest kind of the wink to the Brienne and Jaime shippers, but I felt like the showrunners are on my side.
I feel like neither of them really knows what to make of it yet.
Sure.
Like the characters are not certain that that's where this is going.
Yeah.
But... You know, they clearly have enormous respect for each other.
They're also very inexperienced in relationships, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, Brienne's only ever loved, like we talked about, tragically, a gay man, and Jaime's only ever loved a sister, who he's finally kind of found that she never really loved him back, or at least not the way he did. So,
we find out a huge development this episode is we know what the Night King wants. Because
Bran.
We assume Bran knows what the Night King wants, right?
As long as Bran lives, like there is the chance to rekindle humanity.
Yeah, and I mean, more generally, I guess the Night King wants the Long Night, a really, really long night,
right?
Like forever
but
night.
It wasn't clear to me like why killing the Three-Eyed Raven would guarantee that any more than if only Bran was left in the world. Then humanity is still super fucked, and you're gonna have an eternal night, just maybe with not the Night King around.
Yeah,
we found that the confirmation Arya's weapon is indeed like what a lot of people speculated—just a dragon glass tipped spear staff kind of thing. None of the more exotic options like
still
blow
might
dart
separate.
Or...
You don't think it's going to separate?
No,
Darth
I don't.
Style,
I definitely
yeah.
think that okay. will pop off and be significant. But
we'll see. I got to go back and look at that drawing again, because it could just be one of those diagrams that shows like a zoom in of what she wants the tip of this thing to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, some kind of length or something. But I don't know. I need to take another look.
We got like 3 seconds of ghost CGI time.
Uh-huh.
That's the double D saying that's all we're going to get. Soak it up.
No, that would be hilarious if that's the last we ever see of Ghost. But I think what they're doing is setting up, hey, he's going to be important.
Yeah, or get excited.
Monumentally important. They're not going to have fucking ghost statues after the war's over.
Well,
but he's going to have some role to play in the Battle of Winterfell.
We talked about a part of it, but the collection that I like to call the fireplace scenes, where you see all these characters coming in, and like some of them are not wanting to drink, but they all kind of end up, and
they do.
It's kind of like all of our favorite characters that are not like the big heroic characters. It's like everybody except for like John and Danny are there. I thought that was really cool. I really liked the warmth of the lighting, and it's the last time we're going to get to see all these people kind of relaxed and happy together. Because surely someone in this, lots of these people in this room are going to die. And that's the thing I realized as I was watching is like, I couldn't pick any of these people that I'm like, ambivalent about their deaths.
No, I think really anybody is kind of in jeopardy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say this is such a good episode, because it sort of gives, you know, reasonable conclusions to a lot of the loose ends that now say, hey, anybody could die during this battle.
But as Tyrion points out, I think we all may live. I thought that was, I mean, that's kind of like the bittersweet tone they're going for. It's like, yeah, we're probably going to die, but hey, we might live. And he lays out this like, hey, we have been through a lot of improbable situations together and apart, and we've all survived to get to this part in the game. Us surviving is just as likely as us not. So,
I don't know if those are just as likely, but they're both possibilities.
It was nice seeing Jorah, because a lot of people are saying, "Oh, the one meeting we didn't get last week was Jorah and Lyanna." I like that.
Okay, yeah.
Them talking about, he's trying to get her to go down to the crypts and think about the family, and she's like, "Fuck that. I'm going to fight for the North and fight for Winterfell, same as you." Him getting the Tarly family blade was pretty cool. Ser Jorah back with a Valyrian steel blade.
I think we had discussed that as a possibility last time, but probably joke, though.
I think we made a real prediction that there will be, like they'll shuffle things around, and maybe Jon will get the Tarly blade, or maybe Jon will get one of the ice blades that got split in half, and everybody, it'll kind of all go around. Right.
Everybody who had a Valyrian sword will end up with
we'll
a Valyrian
get
sword.
Appropriate
Maybe
Valyrian
not their own,
sword.
But, you know.
I think Jorah will end up with Longclaw, because I think Jon will take, why wouldn't he take one of the ice variants, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that seems like it'd be,
I think
like
he should take
fitting.
All the Valyrian steel swords, melt them down, and make an even bigger version of his dad's sword.
Like a Final Fantasy style, throw in a couple of the blades from the Iron Throne, why is that it?
Start a new bastard name called Cloud. He'll be John Cloud.
House Cloud, yeah. And then, man, I tell you what, Ramin Djawadi really pulled out the stops when the Night King and his army took the field, and there's these line of these like really creepy dudes with their ice spears and swords, and the music was really intense, and they showed I liked how the true to their word with their interview last week, the designers of the intro are continuing to evolve that. We saw the blue tiles representing the armies of the dead flipping ominously towards Winterfell, and Winterfell for its part, I think, turned over a couple terrain tiles to show like the different defensive works, the spears, and looks like there's a couple collapsible bridges that turn into like fortifications, and they're making moats and
yeah.
They did a really good scene. I thought they did a really good job of laying out kind of the battle in that map scene. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know exactly what the plan is, but we know they're going to try to, like, bait with Bran. Mm-hmm. And they've got, like, you know, you can't fight this army directly, so it looks like they're kind of trying to funnel them into, like, kill zones and, like, obstruct them. And they're going to try to kill the Night King in one blow and wipe out the rest of the army of the dead. Mm-hmm. If they successfully do that, will that feel anticlimactic, do you think?
No, I don't think so, because I think the true climax of the series is the battle between the humans, which is Cersei and Dany and Jon and
all
of them. So I don't think it'll feel anticlimactic. But I will say, I didn't see, and maybe he was there, but I did not see the Night King actual end of this episode. I saw a hell of a lot of White Walkers.
Right.
But no Night King.
No dragon.
A lot of people have speculated that Night King's going to be on the back of that dragon headed toward King's Landing.
Yeah, this is a feint.
Seeming more likely now.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out.
Or it could be they're just really cagey and they know that they want to leave it until next week to see exactly how the battle's going to be joined. But next week, the Rumble at Winterfell is going to go down.
Yeah.
Winterfell Part 3, Winterfell Lurrier. Is going to be next week. Do you have anything else you want to say about this on the instant take, off the cuff basis?
There were two scenes. So normally I'm sort of annoyed by this storytelling shortcut or this like, oh shit, get me out of the scene shortcut.
Which is it
happened both in the scene with Sansa and Dany, which I actually like a lot. And then also at the very end of this when Jon is telling Dany who he really is. They kind of interrupt the conversation at a pivotal point.
Right.
And you can kind of tell, like, the scene with Sansa and Dany I really like because you know what Dany's thinking.
Right.
Right? I don't have a good outcome for you if you want to rule the North independent of me.
Right.
Sorry, Sansa.
Which I don't quite understand, but sure.
Yeah. I think it, you know, it was annoying, but also nice and clever for them to get out of that scene before she actually is forced into an answer.
Right.
They also do it at the end. And I think that was actually perfect because we don't need to deal with the ramifications of that until the bigger threat is dealt with. And I think it actually leaves it to fester a little bit.
Right.
And will it, you know, interfere at all with their ability to do the thing they're trying to do in stopping the Night King?
Yeah, it's not bad. I was really hoping that they just lean on the fact that like this is something that Jon and Dany both have to convince their people of, and not something that they're going to like stir up enmity between themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I was kind of it felt frustrating to me to watch Jon do this.
But Jon never gets a chance to like state his opinion on how he feels about being some kind of rightful heir, right? So
I think he could have.
He could have. He had a few seconds.
Look. I just want to, before I drop this thing heavy, I just wanted to let you know.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Nothing's
changed. You're still queen. I just want you to know that. Because, like, it's not like it's unprecedented for people to abdicate the throne to somebody else that's got not as strong of a claim, but for whatever reason, you know? Some people get passed over.
I did notice they were calling him Warden of the North. Now.
Yes.
That's what he's referred to by Dany. So I guess he's no longer King of the North?
He's back
in his dad's position?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's like Lyanna said last episode. Well, you know, I don't know what to call it. I don't know what you are now. Mm-hmm. Well, now we know what Dany thinks he is, which is just a warden, the Lord Paramount.
Which implies that she also thinks Winterfell, or the North, I guess, is going to be under her rule.
Right. Which also means, like, what Sansa, the Lady of Winterfell, like... What does that even mean?
I don't know.
So it's
a lot to sort out.
It's a big political situation right before they have to fight in unison all together, which is going to be, I wonder if there's going to, I hope there's not any like rivalries on the battlefield, because if you're doing some petty shit between the living when the dead's attacking, holy fuck, man.
You got no time for that.
Yeah. Yeah. One other scene I wanted to highlight is I thought the scene with the little girl who won the fight in Davos.
Yeah.
Where that girl's like right at the same age as Shireen was, and she's got like the facial scar and they had the like, and you could see that he was just like, oh my god, it's the ghost. It's the ghost of this girl.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was a really, really nice scene, and he played it very well.
Yeah, a couple of moments where they're doing pretty obvious callbacks to that kind of stuff.
This like, is a very, this in the last scene. Episode, very nostalgic for season one. Like when they were recalling Sam and like, oh, remember when I first came to Winterfell, what a fuck up I was. And now I'm a badass White Walker killing,
and
lady slaying.
Jamie like finishing Tyrion's quote from season one about how he wants to die. Like,
right.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. Actually Sansa sort of calling back to Rob being an idiot, right? Like men do stupid things when they're in love and they're easily manipulated.
Yeah.
That's Rob in a nutshell.
It is. Anything else we want to talk about?
No. I'm looking forward to watching this a couple more times and doing the Tuesday podcast.
Have the Tuesday podcast. We are going to flip things into the instant talk mode right now. If you are not a club member, that means it's the instant take episode is closing, is coming to an end. Like we said, we'll be back Tuesday. If you want to join in our instant talk podcast, where you can join us in our YouTube studio and chat with us and ask questions and make comments, all you got to do is go to club.baldmove.com. We're running a 25% off annual membership sale right now for new and renewing members at club.baldmove.com.